The next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Knicks are going to play D. 4 seconds. Thomas, rookie on rookie. The pull up for three. Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? The garden is shook.
Welcome back to the Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. I'm joined by my friend and confidant, Charlie.
Pete, we got a lot to talk about, man. We got a lot of shit that just happened and, oh boy, where do we begin? Where do we begin, my friend?
Man, I don't even know where to start. We got the Harden trade. We got, you know, the reinforcements from the deal. We have Ben Simmons. We got KD. We got the losing streak. Cam Thomas literally mowing down the garden. This team, I feel like, is a total roller coaster. But I'm actually starting to like this energy, and I think that they could really pull this off. And if they can, I feel like this will definitely be the best story ever.
Or the worst. I can't decide yet because it's putting me through a whole range of emotions. What's the working title tonight, Pete?
Shaving the Fat.
Oh, I wonder who's a shot that at. Or who's a how do I say it? I wonder who's a shot. I wonder
who's
what kind of shot.
Who's the shot?
Who's that shot being sent at? Is a shot being fired?
It's just wild to me that, of course, the Nets have three superstars, and then what happens? One of them wants to leave out of all the places. Of course, Philadelphia. You know, not the West Coast, but in our own division. You know, scary hours is over. It's kind of a little bit emotional for Net fans. Has this sunk it in yet?
And it's been a couple of days since the trade. I had to really get into my emotions about this. I'm ready for, like, talking about this now. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to seek help.
And this thing kind of gets emotional because, you know, we never had a team like this. We always get shit on, always watching the other teams get the stars. I'm trying to think the last time we acquired a superstar and he seemed like he was somewhat happy here. You know, no shots at Darren or Joe. But I feel like it was Vince Carter, maybe. It's just all this is just so ridiculous. It's, you know, it's almost like you're going through a depression. First, you don't believe it, and what's that thing called? It's just like
what's
denial.
Like, what is like the seven stages of denial? Like begging, like reality.
Okay,
what
it's is the it? Seven stages of like grieving or some shit like that.
Yeah, or see, exactly. It's like the seven stages of being a Nets fan and trade deadline.
Like it was just, it was a lot. Like, I don't know. Did you at first, I didn't believe the rumors. Did you believe that shit?
I had a feeling Listen, he's been shitty all – not shitty. I wouldn't say shitty. He's still been pretty good player, but he just didn't look like the same player.
He's been like a show lethargic, of himself, right, you'd say?
Lethargic, so many goddamn turnovers. It's like almost like he wasn't trying, and now we kind of get it. Maybe he wasn't really trying. Maybe he just figured, like, I'm just going to dog it until the playoffs and see how it goes from there. And then – you know, Kyrie's situation never changed. Durant got hurt, and we just went into a free fall. He says, you know, fuck it. I don't want to really be here anymore because, you know, Kyrie doesn't – I don't know if it's the reason. He said him and Kyrie are supposedly still good friends. He said this in his interview when he got introduced with Philly, that they're still good friends. It's just his status had something or another to do with it. No shit, Sherlock. Of course, the guy – if he was on the court for even the road games, then that would be – better off. That's probably would never have lost a road game, but regardless, I digress.
I got a question for you. What do you think about KD's relationship with James Harden? Supposedly, like, this was around since the beginning of the year, since training camp, this little black cloud, but it really got bad when KD got hurt. And when KD wasn't around, this guy started pulling different shit. And by the time, you know, we got to, you know, to around this time, to this week, it was already too late, right? Well, what do you think? If I was him, if I was KD, I want to fucking wring this guy's neck.
Well, he supposedly signed off on it, like you said. And he's like, yo, I got to get, you know, finally to do it, make it happen. The guy doesn't want to be here. You know, he's clearly dogging it. They were questioning his injury. They were questioning his hamstring injury. Like, they were thinking, like, yo, is he really hurt? That's crazy. I mean, for someone to question that, and you see he was going to play in Philly, but then they realized, yo, we have to sit him out to at least after the All-Star break so it doesn't look like bullshit. So it probably saves his image a little bit. But I don't think he's hurt.
Well, this is – okay, so this is the story, right? The full story of this is that a month ago, Rich Paul – went and hung out with KD while KD was rehabbing and kind of tried to sell him the idea of Ben Simmons for Harden. At first, supposedly, you know, KD wasn't in love with it. Obviously, he wanted Harden to stay. We're 13-3 when the big three are together, when they're together, if they ever get, you know, get together, they're dominant, right? But, you know, that was planted a month ago. So I think, you know, this black cloud has kind of been following this team. And when it came down to the deadline, to the week of the deadline, it was obvious, right? According to all these stories coming out, the guy was partying. He was late to the Denver game. It's just like this. KD did not make this decision. James Harden made the decision for everybody.
The 4 points he scored against the Kings.
I think that was it. After that, they're like, "Fuck!" Like, you know, with this guy, we're gonna have this guy around for the rest of the year doing this shit. One thing I thought was interesting, if you remember, at Golden State, he had that hand sprain, right? That supposedly came from lifting. And I think Steve Nash said, yeah, he actually hurt it. Like, it's actually, we actually see a strain. When they say actually, that means, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, shit. They think there was a chance he might be faking it.
I don't know if he was faking it, but... Dude, we don't ever know with this guy. He dogged it in Houston. He clearly dogged it in Brooklyn. It's so upsetting because now he's one of the most hated players in Nets history.
No,
he is the most hated player.
He is the most hated person in Brooklyn Nets history.
Got that. You could say it was arguably, Darren Williams. You could arguably say it's Jason Kidd, how he ended up out of here as a coach. You know, you can say a lot of things, but clearly James Harden is now public enemy number one in Brooklyn, New York. So, I was in my feelings all week. I didn't know what I wanted. I was like, okay, every minute I was like denial, okay, trying to rationalize the trade. I was living through a lot of emotions. So, my whole thing with the Harden trade is I'm never going to forget how hype I was when he got here. I'm never going to forget how he put the team on his back when KD and Kyrie were out last year. I'm never going to forget how he played for us all of last year. He definitely showed like he wanted to win here and be a part of this. Things changed. Situations changed. Kyrie happened. Kevin Durant got hurt. Joe Harris got hurt. This guy didn't weather the storm. This guy didn't want to be in Brooklyn. I don't want this guy on my team if he does not want to be here. I could rationalize how much he did for us all we want. I don't be mad because it happened or be happy because it did or whatever. You know, don't be mad that because it's ended, be happy because it happened. That whole bullshit, philosophical bullshit. Yeah, that's all fucking great and all. This guy bailed on his fucking mid-year. Didn't give it a chance. This guy is a weak individual in my eyes as far as a competitor. And he just didn't want to stick it out and didn't want to, you know, power through the tough times. And, you know, I hope with a new batch of guys, it's going to change and the whole culture changes. Because before Harden got here, Brooklyn had a culture. After he was here, the culture started to wear away a little bit. You lost Dinwiddie, you lost LeVert, you lost Allen. Joe Harris wasn't around all year. So the Kenny Atkinson era of Nets, nothing really carried over. It's this new identity of a mishmash of older, aging stars.
One thing that I find really, really interesting is, like, he went from this guy playing on one leg in Game 7 against Milwaukee being, right, like, loved, like, beloved, putting up triple-doubles. And, Charlie, if you look, the game against San Antonio, that last the last win before the losing streak, he put up a triple-double. Like, this guy was, you know, he was playing this year. I will give him that. But obviously, you know, I don't know if it's the hammy. I don't know if he's out of shape. I don't know if, you know, if Philadelphia was the main idea the whole time. But it's just, I just don't get how you could not play out the rest of this year. You're going to be a free agent anyway. He didn't sign the contract at training camp. He didn't sign the, he had a great deal right in front of him. And we said, you know what? He's going to make more money if he waits till the summer. That's why he didn't do it, right? Then all this shit happens and he just completely quit. He made two exits in like basically like a year and a half. It's just insane. I just think this guy's a fucking scumbag for that shit.
Secretly, bro, I'm really happy he quit mid-year, because I think if we would have stayed past the deadline and pulled this shit, we would have been stuck with this guy pissing and moping all year. And you know what? We would have lost him for a bullshit sign and trade at best. At best, someone would have gave us a sign and trade for him. We actually got a decent return from the Sixers for this. You know, I was back and forth on the return, because we got a bunch of good guys, and I wanted a little more, but then I realized, you know, if we, you know, we would never have gotten as much value as we would have if we just, anyway. So I'm happy. I'm happy with what we got.
I am too. Cause you know what? I think this is the like the sneakiest thing. I don't know. I'm going to assume that this shit is real, right? All year, he's talking to player agents about, you know, how can I get to Philadelphia? How can I get to Philadelphia? Sean Marks goes to talk to him. Josiah goes to talk to him. No, I'm committed to Brooklyn. They find out that he's, you know, going behind their backs, backstabbing them, that he wants to go to Philadelphia. You know what? Like, that is the most sleaziest shit ever. How do you lie to someone's face? Sean Marks went all in and believed in you. But you know what? You're right. Sean Marks got a great deal with the circumstance, because we were going to have to deal with this guy going forward. He might have left for free agency. If we did re-sign him, his contract next year was going to be like over $42 million. But instead, a couple of the players that we got are going to make $42 million just by themselves.
Say what you want about Kyrie Irving, man, but he's a man of his principles. He sticks by what he believes in, and he doesn't, you know, bullshit anyone. You know, I mean, as far as my knowledge, I mean, his flat earth thing remains to be seen, but dude, like with Harden, you never
know.
Like,
Jesus Christ.
It remains to be seen. We don't know. No one's proven it. Oh, no one's been in outer space yet, Pete. Anyway, no, dude, like Kyrie, like, dude, he stands behind what he believes in. And, you know, again, he's, I'm pissed that he's not fucking playing home games, but man, he's not. I don't think a Kyrie is soft like that. I don't know, man.
He hustles. You know what? He's not going to give up. If a play breaks down, Kyrie Irving will not fucking give up like James Harden did. But you know what? Let's fucking wrap up on this dude, because, like, I don't know. It's just so disappointing that we finally had a super team in our franchise.
Still do.
It fucking blew up like that. And you're right. You're right.
We still have a super team. I'm sorry. I think we got better after this. But one thing I want to add that I really fucking hope this is true, because it makes me so happy. And I read there was a, I don't know how fake it was. I don't, you know, it was a report that, you know, about when Kyrie Irving was working his way back to start working with the team again. He was, you know, he was just starting off. I mean, he wasn't in basketball-ready shape or anything. James Harden was playing for a couple of months at this point already. In practices, they would go one-on-one with each other. And
Charlie,
Kyrie
was not real. I
know. I hope. I know it's not. But I,
some
part of
sex sports, Charlie.
Hope it's true.
I'll help you. I'll cut this out for you, bro.
Don't cut it out. I want people to know that there's the slightest possibility that this is true.
It would be nice, but
Supposedly Kyrie would smoke James Harden in practice on one-on-one. James Harden wouldn't even come close to being able to defend him.
It's not real.
Even if it isn't real, would you believe that Kyrie Irving can score on James Harden easily?
I think anyone can score on James Harden easily.
Well, like, if he put 100, if both of them had 100% effort in the game, 100% skin in the game there, who would win in a one-on-one?
I might say Harden just because he's the bigger body. But if if Kyrie was just fucking running around in circles, I don't think James could keep up with him.
Kyrie has better handles, right? I'd say at this point, Kyrie is a better shooter. It's this year.
I guess I don't. I have to look at the stats. He hasn't been too hot a couple games, man.
Kyrie is a better scorer at the rim. The only thing, like you said, James Harden has on Kyrie is that he's bigger body. Kyrie is way faster, more crafty with scoring, has much more of a scorer's repertoire, and in my opinion, is a better defender. The only thing James Harden probably can do on him is probably get to his left hand and go to his weak side, and that's, he'll probably stick with that. That's all his game is, and then flail his arms up and ask for a foul.
What do you think is going to happen with Embiid and Harden? You think that works out, or
yeah, sure, it'll work out for a couple of months. Everyone's going to be hyped. They'll get to the playoffs. There'll be a second round exit.
It's going to be really interesting what Philadelphia does with Harden. The Nets do a lot of switching, so you could hide Harden. But the 76ers, they use Embiid in a drop coverage, no switching. So when Harden gets beat, yes, you will have Embiid, but you're not going to be able to hide Harden like you did in Brooklyn. So I think that's going to be interesting. What do you think about all this, or maybe the offense or whatever you want to talk about?
I also don't think it's going to work too much with the Embiid pairing as on the offensive as people think. Embiid's not really a pick-and-roll player. He's not really – like Harden is a pick-and-roll-heavy offensive player. Yeah, I mean, Tobias Harris could probably set a good screen, and Embiid definitely could set a screen, but they're not runners to the rim. They're face-up players. They're better with their backs down. They're better with getting in. I'm sure Harden can get them the ball down there, but that's not Harden's game. So as we've seen, and supposedly there was a big rift between Nash's offensive style and how Kevin Durant wanted the offense to run more of through everybody as opposed to through one person. And James Harden really kind of was ball dominant and was insistent that he take most of the ball up most of the time.
Yeah, he took the air out of the ball. And you know what's interesting? Like, you'd see this when Harden was out, that the ball would kind of just, like, pop. You know what I mean?
Like, move a little better. Passes.
And with these guys that we got, like, I do think that we got better. Like, is Harden the best player out of, like, the three? Maybe Ben might be better, but, you know, this year's James Harden, I think we got a steal of a deal.
All right, Pete, go over the trade.
All right. So obviously we got rid of the piece of shit James Harden and Paul Millsap, obviously, who was chilling at home, you know, collecting a paycheck. He was used as part of the salary for this deal. And we got back, obviously, Ben Simmons, the new third star. My boy, this is officially my boy, officially going to buy his jersey. I am the conductor of the Seth Curry train.
That's why? Because he's wearing number 30?
No.
Is it because and you like Steph Curry and you could just imagine it's like a Steph Curry on the Nets? Is that why?
Maybe a little bit. I like Steph Curry, so I've always liked Seth Curry. So that's it kind of works out with that. And, of course, what I thought that the Nets needed maybe the most out of this deal, AD, Andre Drummond. They finally get some rebounding help.
Finally. And front court presence, man. We needed a front court force. And this guy is basically, he's always been a front court force. Since he first came into the league, he's one of the best rebounders in the game. Blake Griffin loves him. Big body, good defender, good blocker. I think now we have a complete versatile front court now.
Of course, we were able. Sean Marks was able to squeeze Morey a little bit, and we got two first rounders. Supposedly, this is what they, you know, I've heard on the ESPNs, that we wanted Maxey or Thybulle, and if we weren't going to get any of those dudes, that the Nets wanted 2 second rounders. So we got a first rounder this year, 2022. But if the Nets don't like the pick, they could defer to next year. So, for example, Philadelphia picks, I don't know, 30th, right? Marks could go on and say, I don't want this pick this year, I want it next year. So it would become a 2023 pick. Obviously, you hope that pick gets lower as time goes on, because I don't think they're going to use the pick this year. Philadelphia is high in the standings. Very good chance this pick gets used next year. Second first round pick gets a little tricky. It's in 2027. It's a top 8 protected pick. If the Nets don't use it then, it rolls over to next year, 2028. Also top 8 protected. And if not, then it becomes a 2018 second round pick, and the Nets get cash thrown in as an additional. Overall, I think you have to hope that the 2027 pick is the Hail Mary out of the deal. You're going to have James Harden old. He'll be, I don't know, 37 maybe, something like that. And Embiid's going to be older. Very good chance that the Nets maybe can catch a break with that pick. But who knows? Maybe Embiid goes off till he's 100 years old. But of course, the crown jewel of the trade, Ben Simmons, the Nets acquire a young superstar. Maybe he's not a superstar now, but he's at least an all-star, right? Nets get a phenomenal young talent for an aging talent whose contract is going to be extremely bloated. The Nets actually save money when you look at the differences from the max that Harden is going to get and the max that Simmons has right now. So Simmons has already signed up for a couple years. You know, we won't have to worry about him leaving in free agency. But just the stuff that he does, the defense, the passing, the creating open threes, I think that with this healthy team, this guy Ben Simmons is going to be phenomenal. I'm just so excited to have this whole team healthy. Charlie, what do you think about Ben Simmons?
So right away, I think Ben Simmons' defense is going to help us the most. His versatility on offense, how he can be like a Swiss Army knife in the paint. He's gonna definitely improve. I see him. I see Seth Curry. I see Drummond. All these guys making immediate impacts with this team. Seth Curry is going to fill the role of Joe Harris until Joe Harris comes back. And hopefully all our shooters are healthy. Then we can throw Patty Mills, Joe Harris, and Seth Curry out there alongside Durant and Irving at all times. You could pair them with any one of those three elite-level three-point shooters at all times. So think about that.
That's scary.
Think about the floor spacing. Now, I was thinking about this, and I want to ask you what your ideal lineup is with the new guys coming in. I want to also talk about how I feel about Drummond here. I think Drummond is going to be a huge factor for us, but I would really like to see a very small ball lineup for the Nets. And this is my small ball lineup for you. If everyone's healthy, of course, you got Ben Simmons, you have Kyrie Irving, you have Joe Harris, you have Kevin Durant, and you have Seth Curry. Not in that order and not in position.
Who's the center?
I'm going to have Kevin Durant at the center. You're going to have Ben Simmons play power forward. You're going to have Joe Harris playing small forward, Seth Curry at shooting guard, and Kyrie Irving at the point guard, guarding the other team's guard.
That's very, very interesting. I like that.
I see that lineup coming into play when, you know, the Nets are either up by a lot, when they're up by 10, and that's like basically trying to add more fire to the gasoline type of thing. And I also see that lineup coming into games when they need to come back or scoring. I don't see that lineup being sustainable for long periods because of the lack of defensive rebounding and interior defense. But I also see that lineup just scoring like crazy, just because of how well they can run the fast break with Irving, Durant, and Simmons, and then the elite level 3-point shooting from Seth Curry and Joe Harris. Think about that.
You know what? J.J. Redick was talking about this deal, right? The Ben Simmons-Harden deal. And one of Simmons' superpowers, he says, is creating open threes.
Yes, I saw that.
Since Ben Simmons has been in the NBA, he's created the most threes. He's assisted on the most threes. So he doesn't create the space with the shooting, but think about him driving and kicking. When this guy goes downhill, it's gonna be hell if you have to worry about Seth Curry in one corner, Kyrie over here, KD over there. When this team gets healthy, it's gonna be nice. And on defense, imagine having KD and Ben Simmons. Two out of your five defenders are gonna be elite level defenders. This team was missing some defense and some rebounding. I think this deal definitely fucking like, it's like a spark plug type deal.
What's your ideal playoff lineup given the current roster?
All right, not talking about matchups. This is my game one starting lineup. I got Ben at the one, Kai at the two, and I'm going to give you a toss-up for Harris or Seth Curry at the three, KD at the four, Drummond at the five. So that's, you know, my starting lineup. My crunch time lineup, I guess you could say our small ball shooting lineup. I'm going to have KD at the five. I'm going to have Joe at the four. I'm going to have Seth at the three. I'm going to have Patty at the two. And then I'm going to have Kai at the one. Now, we got to look at Dragic, right? Because he might be the starting point guard for games on the road for us. I mean, okay, we got to be looking. So our latest pickup, thanks to, I guess, Steve Nash, his buddy, the Dragon, Goran Dragic, has signed with us, of course. I know we've talked about it. He hasn't played in a year. I think that his basketball IQ is off the charts. I love his shooting in the corners. I could see him playing with Ben. I could see Ben driving and him kicking out to Dragic. I think Net fans need to relax a little bit because I don't think we're getting the Dragic of a couple years ago in the NBA Finals. But I definitely think that this guy could be a solid point guard. Even a starter, right? This guy could definitely start for the games that Kyrie can't get in. And I don't think he'll turn over the ball too much. He has about 2.4 turnovers a game. Always shoots over 33%. Closer to 40 in his better years. You never know what that spacing is going to do for his game. But we just needed an extra ball handler because everybody knows we may not get Kyrie back. Maybe you want to play Ben at the four. I don't know. It just gives us a lot more options. I'm kind of holding my tongue on Dragic. I hope he does well. I'm excited that they got him. Don't get me wrong. What do you think, Charlie? You think we should wait a little bit? Let him get into a couple games before making an opinion on him? This may be as close as you get to your Swamp Dragon dreams. Anything you want to add about the guy?
No. That's it. That's all I got.
Lastly, follow us on Twitter at OnlyNetsFansPod. On Twitter, OnlyNetsFansPod. And, you know, Charlie needs help with the Instagram as usual. Help him out and give us a follow at the Only Nets Fans You Know. On IG, the Only Nets Fans You Know. Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good commute. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time, guys. Let's go.
I just think it's funny how James Harden went to Philadelphia and, you know, he pulled a Benedict Arnold, and Philadelphia is the opposite of pulling a British Empire, and they're known for their independence, and James Harden's our Benedict Arnold. Just adding that in there.